Thank you, Jerry. That was awesome. That was just the greatest section about faith that any of us have ever heard, opening up the practicality and the understanding that after so many years of reading these verses, it was so great.
And yeah, that's pretty funny how, you know, and we never push the limits either. It falls on us. We're supposed to study the scriptures daily, whether these things be so. But what I'm trying to do for you guys, and I love you all so much, is to have active faith for my ministry, and to be able to take you into places that you've never gone. I think it's time.
It is time.
And it's not only with wisdom, but it's also with health, and it's with everything. And I've already been doing that stuff. But you guys deserve the best.
As we're going to see, as the morning progresses, each of us have active faith in some areas, and we'll be able to relate to our own application of active faith. This is an amazing subject. And I believe that as Jerry shared today, each of us came to some of these realizations on how some things for us in life are effortless, other things flummox us. And it's to these that he is addressing this. Not only that, but to give the keys and the principles on how to understand how to practically apply, and it's no longer going to be hit and miss. I'm so looking forward to that, Jerry. Thank you. The title of my teaching today, It Is Well. I'd like to tell you about a great woman, and you can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'd like to tell you about a great woman, a woman who had everything. She had everything until everything was not enough. And how God delivered her is how God delivers us. It took God's power when everything that she had in life was not enough. The ability of God's power, which we've learned in the Greek, is called dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's the Greek word. We get our word dynamite from it, and many other words. Dunamis, inherent latent power. That power takes us from death unto life. That power takes us from drowning. That means being under the water, unable to breathe, from drowning unawares to our first breath of air. May today be a breath of air breathed by the breath of God, and may our souls revive. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'd like to start in verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And this great is like the lesser light. Genesis chapter 1, where God made a great light and then a lesser light. The great light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. It was still a great light. Moonlight is still a great light. This is the same Hebrew word. There was a great woman. She was great in magnitude. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. As often as he passed by, he stopped for lunch to eat bread. Verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold now, Ayada, Jerry just shared this word, Ayada, I know, I perceived, I saw, I understand, I get it. In English, we even say that all the time, yada, yada, yada. It means, I know, I know, I know. Behold now, she said to her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Well, how did she perceive that? Well, we'll see that in a minute, or in a few minutes. This Shunammite woman was a very perceptive woman. She was a very knowing woman. She was a great woman. She had great possessions and material things. As you study, if you go and study these words that I'm bringing up, you'll see through all their usages that it says exactly what I'm sharing with you from this teaching. Possessions and material things. Well, it's an incredible thing to be perceptive of the presence of truth and holiness in another person, isn't it? That's pretty good to be perceptive. Well, she was. And then it came into her heart to do something. It came into her heart to care for the man of God. He passed by their house continually. And every time he passed by, what did he do? He ate bread. Well, that's a pretty good relationship. Verse 10. Let us, Genesis chapter 1, let us. She wasn't by herself. She was talking about she and her husband. Let us make a little chamber. I pray thee on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. He's going to turn in. Right now, all he could do is stop and eat. But now she's taking it to the next step. She's actually building a room onto the house. And if you look up this word chamber, you'll see that it's a summer chamber, or it's a room that David built up over a second floor over a big gate, King David. It's a pretty nice remodel happening there. It's one that I would love to do. Yeah, a little room addition. And she did it on the wall. She didn't do it on the ground. She did it on the wall. You ever built a room on a wall? Man, nice. Love it. Little. Little means less great. Yeah. It's like the moon being less great than the sun. Great nonetheless. And that's what they did. A little chamber. Less great than the main house, but pretty good nonetheless. Let us. Wow. Let's get this room addition going. In verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and he lay there. The remodel's all finished. He goes into his room and he lays there. He rests. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. She didn't come in the room. She stood before him. In verse 13, and he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. The word careful and the word care are from the same Hebrew word. You've been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. Don't need the king, don't need the captain. You see, the word careful and care, they can be compared to something really interesting. And instead of us going through the hundreds of usages of it, let me just say this. In your neighborhood, have you ever had or do you ever experience that siren going off at noon? Yeah. That loud, horrible sounding siren going off at noon that they set up back in the 60s when we were all afraid of Russia coming in and with nuclear bombs and whatever. Whatever that siren represents to you based on your knowledge is how you feel when it goes off. First of all, you don't like the sound. Second of all, it's something really loud. Thirdly, it represents something. Fourthly, it could affect you where you want to run for the bomb shelter. Or maybe it doesn't. And you just get out on your bicycle and go right down the street. Can't wait for the sound to stop. That's the word careful and care. It can be compared to when the neighborhood sirens go off. It's what they represent. It's what you know about what they represent that stirs your heart. So she told him, I don't need anything. I'm good. Rubbing shoulders with the king, huh? Wow. He's telling her a little bit about his life. That's really cool that you actually do that? Wow. That's good. But nope, I'm good. And the military leadership? That's incredible. Man, she goes, I like this. It's kind of cool, but nope, I'm good. I don't need anything. This Shunammite woman did not depend on other people's help. She didn't depend on the king, and she didn't depend on the military. But with her accumulated wisdom, her knowledge, she stood on her own, she and her husband. Well, let's call her the woman who had everything. She had the resources, she and her husband. They built a room addition. They wanted the man of God to come there. She recognized who he was. She also recognized what she needed and didn't need in her life. And in her care for the man of God, she fully invested her life in what she was able to do. This care, it can be akin to, based on the knowledge, a trembling. How does that siren sound? What does it do? It immediately jacks your five senses up. You immediately go, oh my gosh, what is this? This was going off when I was a kid. It still does that. And now it's on the radio stations too, that loud sound at noon or whenever they do it. It's a trembling. Her heart trembled when the man of God came, out of respect for who he was and what he represented. God and his word. Yada, yada, yada. She had good perception. And she says, I've got to do something for him. I want him to come every day, every time he comes through town. And I'm going to build a room for him. Oh, hubby, can we? Shall we? Please? Yes, let's do it, dear. Verse 14. And he said, well, what then is to be done for her? She's got everything. Well, his servant Gehazi answered, truly, she does. However, she has no child and her husband is old. So his servant told him that. Ever had those people in your life that are impossible to buy a birthday present for? They've got everything. Well, that was his Shunammite woman. She had everything. The man of God, he was perplexed because he really wanted to do something. There wasn't anything physical she needed. There wasn't anything militarily she needed. There wasn't anything kingly she needed. Her needs were taken care of. And what was Gehazi's answer? Well, it was twofold. She has no child. And then her husband is old. Those are the two things. Well, let's go ahead and get even more perplexed. If somebody came up to you and said that about somebody, when you ask them about what can we do for them? Well, she doesn't have a child and her husband's old. What are you going to do? Well, only God could provide this. Her desires and her needs, whatever they were, that revolved around no child and her husband being old, only God could provide. We'll see that all of her life, she only wanted one thing, her married life. She wanted the child. This is what was revealed to the man of God. Verse 15, and he said, let's get out of here, Gehazi. It's been nice. Thank you. No. What did he say? He spoke, call her. And I want to share this with you. I'll go ahead and give you a tidbit. Dunamis in manifestation. Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. It was stirring in the man of God's heart to respond to all this kindness, to this respect, to this deep understanding and respect of God's word living in his life. It wasn't about him. Well, it could have been in part. She had to find out what kind of food he liked, and she made sure that he was comfortable when he stayed with her. But it was respect for God's word. What is to be done for her? Did she need anything to be done for her? She looked like she had everything. She did. Well, if you look at it by the five senses, the greater needs in a person's life always reside in their heart. They always reside in their heart. These are needs only God can supply, and only His Word can get to the heart of the matter, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The man of God, in all his endeavors, in all his living, what was he doing? He was responding to how God was working in his heart. This woman desired a son. She needed God's help in a way that only God could provide. Verse 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, she's standing there in the doorway, and she said, baby, don't even say that. Don't even say that. Thou man of God, do not lie unto me. I've been lied to all my life. You don't think that I've tried everything? You don't think that I've gone to here and to there, and we've done it when the moon was out, when the moon was... Don't you think I know? And you're sitting here telling me you came into my house, you're eating my food, you're making yourself comfortable, and now you're telling me that I'm going to have a baby. She was stunned. Do not lie unto thy handmaid. She said it with all her strength. She said it with all her passion. And she spoke directly to the man of God. No, do not lie unto me. Everyone else has, no matter what I've done. Having a child, it's eluded me. It's just been very evasive. It hasn't happened. What do you think about her? Her feelings of failure? Self-judgment? Condemnation? Can you imagine them surfacing right there as she's standing in the doorway of this beautiful little remodel built on the wall of her house? All of those things just melted to the ground right in front of her when that man of God told her that. She had to choose to believe. She had to choose to lock in, but she couldn't quite do that yet. As the dunamis power of God was manifested to her, these words of the wisdom of God, they pierced directly to her heart's real issue. No matter how great she had become, no matter her accumulation in life, this deep need remained. Only God's wisdom can get to the heart of this kind of matter. And Elisha had to look past the five senses in order to get to the heart of what her real needs were. And just picture, in the quiet of this newly built room, this little chamber, little in the sense that it was not quite as big as the house that it was built on. After all these years, when her husband was old, after all these years, her ears heard the impossible. About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And the woman had to listen to that. Well, verse 17. And the woman conceived. She went down the fire escape. She goes, honey, we're going to have a baby. And he's going, what? Changes his hearing aid a little bit. What are you saying? And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. The words, the action, the healing. And she did bear a son according to what Elisha told her. He did not lie. Imagine what the neighbor said as the word got out about this one. This impossible feat. Yep, there she goes again, trying to get pregnant, going down to this doctor. She got pregnant. This is awesome. What did she receive? She received gift of healings. Because her body needed to be healed. And for that to happen, dunamis had to flow. For that to happen, words had to be spoken. She listened, she believed, and she locked in and did the actions necessary to receive. This was dunamis flowing in her life. Wow. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, we skipped the verse, but when the child was grown in verse 18, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head, oh my gosh, my head. And his father said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When the fruit of her loins, the Shunammite woman was grown up, when the fruit of her loins was grown, it happened on a day that the grown child went out to work. As they were going through the normal seasons of life, they were harvesting, working in the fields, something else entered. A matter at hand, we call that. Something came into their life. His head hurt. Something entered. Something happened. Dad, my head hurts. It was serious enough that he needed to be carried home. The husband did the right thing. He trusted his wife's perception, yada, 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 and her relationship with the man of God. He didn't just condemn her. Who are you hanging out with? Why you let him come over all the time? You know, get all jealous and stuff. He believed in his wife and what she was doing, and he trusted her. And I'll tell you this right now, had he not done this, that boy would not have been raised from the dead. Give her some credit. The husband did the right thing. He trusted his wife's perception and her relationship with the man of God. He had already learned that the man of God spoke truth. He did not lie. He probably heard his wife. She's upstairs. He's downstairs. He's probably out in the field. He probably heard her say it. Don't lie to me. All the neighbors heard it. Verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up, climbed up, ascended up, went up the stairs and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Oh, take a minute and study that word run. It means to run and not let any obstacle get in the way. It means to break down the walls and run through them. It means to run. It means to run like the giants ran at David. It means to run. And only the power of God can stop the running when evil is coming. And only the power of God can help a person run to do good. Running to serve. Verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Shalom is the Hebrew word. It shall be well. Husband sitting there, it's not Sunday. Why are you going to go to church today? What's the deal? We're doing everything we need to do. And she's saying, I've got a dead boy on my lap, and there's only one way for him to get healed, and that's with the power of God. You see the disparity of believing that this married couple had? But he helped saddle up, and she went on her way. That was good. He acquiesced. I want to share a part of a poem before we go to the next verse. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. I don't even want to go to the bathroom. Go. Go. The Shunammite woman ran to God's wisdom and God's power. Her heart trembled out of respect for God's word. She ran to that. She knew that her greatness, her wealth, the king, the military might, nothing could fix this problem, death. And it had struck her right in the face. It came right through the door. And she went right through the door of the man of God's room and put that boy on his bed and said, it is well. God has to take care of me. Only God can. The Shunammite woman ran to God's power and to his wisdom. She knew it wasn't to be found on the earth. Wasn't going to, no, no way. Nobody knows where wisdom is. Only God does. And he still gives it to us. So great. Thank you, God. She went to the only place where it was, the man of God. It was in Elijah. Elisha. Verse 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Well, from where she lived, Mount Carmel was about 30 or 32 miles away, if directions are correct in this day. So they got on that donkey or what the ass she was riding, and they went 32 miles. Have you ever gone 32 miles on an ass? Well, I got to say that something may not be feeling good after 32 miles. And Mount Carmel is where Elijah was with the 450 prophets of Baal when that situation happened. Well, from a distance, Elisha saw and heard a voice saying, behold, that Shunammite. He saw. He couldn't see her physically. He saw her because God showed him. Just study the word afar. You'll see it. Verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Four times in this verse. Shalom. 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 This word was said. No matter what the feelings are, you'll see them in a minute. No matter what the five senses presents, God's power, God's wisdom, God's peace, God's presence will make things well. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, this is Mount Carmel, think about 6,000 feet elevation. The hill, 6,000 feet. You ever climbed a mountain on a donkey? Woo! After 32 miles? Man! And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Oh, that's a no-no.
What?
She caught him by his feet. Not supposed to touch men and women in that culture. She caught him by his feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. He goes, I'll take you out, lady. Thank you for all the food and letting us stay at your house, but you're not messing with the man of God. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed. Her soul is bitter within her. You remember Ruth and Naomi? Vexed, bitter. I can't have a baby. Well, she ended up having a baby. Bitter, bitterness. Her soul was bitter within her. And the Lord, man of God said, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. I'm standing here. I got a woman coming up the mountain. She is bitter. She's angry and she's grabbing me by the feet and she's going to take me out. And I don't have an answer from God. I don't know what to do.
Yet.
I don't know what's going on in her life. I've asked her all the pertinent question, but there's a whole lot of bitterness coming up that hill right now. Well, I thought about that. The lady in the Gospels, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Dunamis needs to flow. She bypassed custom to do this. And on her knees, she held the man of God's feet. I want to read another part of this little poem. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine. For in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. This Shunammite woman was drowning in bitterness and despair. Her hopes had been dashed against the rocks. Her desired haven was not being arrived at. Her ship wasn't coming to port. And I want to tell you something. It's okay to be intimidated when life throws a hand grenade at you, because a hand grenade's powerful. It's okay to be intimidated when the king comes knocking at your door, or when the military might has a presence. It's okay to be intimidated because of the power there. It's okay to be intimidated by what life throws your way. If Jordan above me shall roll. That's the Jordan River. You know, like you're under, can't come up, can't breathe, feel like you can't breathe, you feel like the walls are closing in, and you do it for days or weeks on end or months on end. I've been there. I know what that feels like. And not even know that I was drowning. Just feeling a certain way. How many times does that happen? You feel a certain way and you can't shake it. Well, why don't we call it drowning? If Jordan above me shall roll, the storms of life can and will bring intimidation. You're not even aware that the Jordan over you rolls. But when you reach out, God answers. God's escape route brings deliverance to our soul. The power of God healed the Shunammite woman. She had a baby. This was a gift from God. Healing is always a gift to her. Well, here she was in need again. That's why we've learned that it's called gift of healings. As part of the grouping of the manifestation, Holy Spirit. She was in need again. Her son died. Verse 28. Then she said to the man of God, picture her on her knees. Gehazi was about to throw her away, but she didn't let go of him. She didn't let go of him. She goes, did I ask a son of you? Did I ask you to give me a son? You asked me if I could, if you wanted to go to the king for me, the military for me, anything you can do. I showed you my life. I dwell with my people. I take care of my own. We got it going on. We're okay. And you came in and God really blessed our lives. We have a family now. But did I ask you that? Did I ask a son of my Lord? No, I didn't. Did I not say, don't lie to me? Don't deceive me. Did she ask the man of God for a son? Nope. The man of God, what did he do? He told her what God revealed to him to say. He told her the future. Only God can tell the future. And it be truth. He told her the future and it came to pass. He called her. She stood in the doorway, not even coming into the room that she had built for him. Then he said unto her what he said. And we already know what he said to her. Time of life. Imagine her shock to hear these words when he told her that. You're going to have a baby. Imagine what her heart went through. She did say, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Verse 32. We'll go to verse 32. A series of events happen. And when Elijah was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead. He was dead and laid upon his bed, just as strong as Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's time to rise up and believe my word and move on. It was time for this woman to believe God's word, what was about to happen, so that that deliverance could happen and the promise of God could come into reality. Verse 33, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, both of them, and prayed unto the Lord. He talked to God. He prayed. He prayed fervently unto God. And then he went up and did what God told him to do, unique to the situation. He lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Verse 35, then he returned and walked into the house to and fro. He went back downstairs, he walked downstairs, and he starts walking in the house to and fro. And then he went back upstairs. He went back upstairs into the chamber the Shunammite woman had built for him, where the son lay in the bed, warm now. and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Yeah! From death unto life. You see the dunamis flowing? No, you can't. It's invisible. But you see the results of it flowing. Yes, it flowed. The power of God, dunamis flowed. The power of God in Elisha, via the Spirit upon him, it flowed. God energizes the Spirit upon Elijah as he, as Eliza, acted. Acted. It's up to the individual to act. We have that inherent power inside of us, that dunamis power, via the gift of Holy Spirit. Elisha had it upon him, the Holy Spirit upon him, and he acted. Who operated those manifestations here? Well, Elisha did. The woman didn't. Her husband certainly didn't. But Elisha did. Elisha had a spirit upon him, and he chose to act. He kept his believing unwavering and focused. No matter what happened on that Mount Carmel, no matter what he saw, no matter what he had to deal with, no matter how he got confronted, he just acted on what God's word said. He kept his focus straight on, right on, undivided to God's word. Dunamis flowed and life returned into the boy from death unto life. In verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Her fruit in life did not fall to the ground. By the power, the dunamis of God, life was breathed into a hopeless and a dead situation. Dunamis flowing from God to his people keeps God's promises alive. Another stanza I'd like to read on a little poem that I have. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. The person who has everything still needs the gift of God, still needs dunamis in their life. Salvation is a gift. The new birth, the power in the new birth is a gift. Then there's 5 gift ministries. We need all of them. We need all of them, and bring them on, God. Just love that. And I'd like to read another little stanza on this poem. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. From the raging storms of life, from death unto life, only God by his power can our souls revive. From the pressures of life, from the weak to the strong, from a last breath we are pulled into God's care, we are strong. Amen.